Hello and welcome back to another episode of Passive Income Pilots, everyone. Episode 150. Can you believe it, Ryan?
I know, 150 episodes, and we thought, what a better way to do episode 150 than to bring on one of our listeners who's actually been taking a ton of action to change his financial picture. And John, welcome to the show.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be here.
Yeah. You know, I know we were just catching up a little bit before the show, but John flies for Southwest, has had a great career, and has been a listener to the episodes. Have you listened to all 149 episodes? And I guess you'll be listening to this one pretty soon.
No, I think I've made it through most of them. There were a few I didn't, but yeah, got most of them under my belt.
Nice, nice. John, why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background, why we're bringing you on?
Sure. Yeah. I grew up in Texas, went to the Air Force Academy way back in the 1900s, graduated, late 90s, went to the Air Force, did 20 years over there flying the C-9, the old DC-9 medevacs, steam gauges, you know, low bypass turbofans, just loud as all get out. Then went to the C-17, did that for the rest of my career. Took a week off after I retired and started at Southwest. We live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area and married 4 kids. There you go.
There it is.
I love it. And you're reporting live right now from your backyard studio.
From my backyard, yes. It's the quietest place in my house. In the morning as kids are waking up and going to school, which I'm sure a lot of people can identify with. So as I was looking for a place to talk to you guys, outside was the quietest place, which is quite nice, right next to the pool, all that stuff. But the kids are going to be, if you see me look off, they're dashing across inside trying to get ready for school.
Well, it looks beautiful out there. John, we wanted to have you on. You know, we may have mentioned this on the show before, but there was somebody who brought their tax returns to the happy hour that we threw in Houston when we were down there doing the bus tour, looking at some self-storage. And that was you.
Yes.
And yeah, that was one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on, is because you've really done the thing. And we love the fact that you've just taken action. You haven't hired a bunch of third party consultants to tell you exactly what to do. You've just gone out and done it. So let's start there. I mean, you brought that tax return to the bar with you in Houston. Why'd you do that? And why were you so excited about it?
Well, who wouldn't be excited about, you know, a 6-figure write-off on your taxes? So the bus tour, you know, you guys announced that. So, you know, we live in the Dallas area. The short-term rental we bought was down in the Houston area in Galveston off the coast. So we were down there anyway, and then the happy hour coincided. Y'all both were going to be there. So we decided to come. We invited my sister down, coincidentally. My brother-in-law is an attorney, not a pilot, but they're pilot adjacent. So they came down, did the bus tour, and I was like, we were talking and it was just like, man, it's just like, here we go. Like, hey guys, check this out. You know, real world proof. You know, I'm sure it feels like sometimes you're speaking into the void. Is anybody listening to this stuff? And so I thought it would be fun to share, just be like, hey guys, look, like what you said really works. Here's a real world example.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, and you went from owing a bunch of money to getting a nice fat refund, right? So that's just music to my ears. I remember you also wrote me an email. And it was just heartwarming. And it really, it's like that. That's why Ryan and I do the show. It's a lot of work. But I mean, to be able to pass this education on to the pilot group and, you know, to have a representative example in what you've done and the money that you've saved on taxes and how that rolls. Obviously, that cash is going into an asset that's growing in value over time and is building wealth for your family. So it's just, it's amazing. So thank you. Thanks for listening. And thanks for actually going forth and doing the thing.
Well, you know, it's like amazing how technology's evolved. Like years ago, you know, in my early 20s, like early 2000s, you know, getting started in the Air Force, young pilot, like none of this existed. Like if you wanted to know this stuff, you had to either have a degree in it, you had to go hire somebody. You know, now it's just like so readily available. You know, who doesn't have a pair of wireless headphones and listens to some podcast of some sort? It's just so easily accessible, you know, so it was easy to listen to and just get into.
Absolutely.
All right. So on today's show, the reason why we brought John on is because John is just like many of our tens of thousands of listeners flying for an airline and actually has taken action. And what we're going to do today is we're going to actually unpack what John has done to reduce his tax liability. And so Tate and I are super excited to get into this today. Let's get to the show.
Welcome to Passive Income Pilots, where pilots upgrade their money. This is the definitive source for personal finance and investment tactics for aviators. We interview world-renowned experts and share these lessons with the flying community. So if you're ready for practical knowledge and insights, let's roll.
All right, John. So you bought a short-term rental, and I know that this is a strategy that a lot of pilots are interested in. We've talked about it on the show. We haven't really, I don't think, popped the hood open on more than one or two episodes on how exactly you might find one, furnish it, put it on the listing service, so on and so forth. I'd love to hear the story. How'd you decide to do this? Where did you start? Did you go on Zillow? Did you work with a broker? How'd you go about it?
But John, real quick, can we just say the why? Why short-term rental? Can we just remind the listeners why you even started this in the first place?
Yeah, so episode 10, that was kind of the catalyst, which I know has been a popular one. Got to meet Toby Mathis at an Anderson event that Ryan gave me tickets for. Listen to the show. Just listen to these guys. Do what they say. It's all true. probably, well, most of it.
Of it. There are some things out there. Maybe you just should do due diligence on.
We're pilots. You know, we might exaggerate on some things, but it's okay. So listen to episode 10. It was like about 2 years ago. You guys, you know, just to tell you how I got to you guys on Facebook, the Facebook group for Passive Income Pilots popped up. So I was like, oh, this is interesting. And just kind of branched off from there. Found episode 10. I think it was an overnight in Raleigh. And, you know, usually we all have the routine at the hotel of what we do once we get there. And it was, you know, mine's usually work out, call the family, eat dinner, go to bed, something like that. So I just was like, I had a pen and paper and I'm like taking notes. I still have that, you know, in my bedroom on my desk. And it was like top five ways to save on your taxes. And the short-term rental thing got brought up. So dug into that more. I think there was an episode a few later that was, you know, similar about cost segregation and things like that. So we're in March, April of 2 years ago, 24. And wife and I, you guys have both met Marilu. She's amazing. And we've always wanted to get a, we always go vacation in Galveston every summer. So that's down on the Texas coast, you know, just south of Houston, on the west end of the island. We love going down there. We usually go with my kids, our kids, my sister's kids. Like we all go and hang out. So we've talked for years, like, oh, we should get a place, but it always seems so daunting because you're like, okay, well, how are we going to afford this? What are we going to do? And, you know, it's usually, I think people always look, they go on vacation, they're like, oh, how much is something here? And they look on Zillow or whatever, and they're like, okay, whatever, and you move on. Right. So I was listening to this show, and I remember after hearing that episode and kind of digging into it some, like really from those episodes, being like, I remember going to Mighty Lou, and I was like, babe, we should do this. Like, now's the time. And, you know, 2024, not that the market was terrible, but, you know, I knew it was coming out of, you know, the high interest rates and things like that. So we were on vacation down there in June, and in the area we like to go, it's in the west end of Galveston. It's called Point West. They got condos, houses. We call them stupid houses, like the gigantic ones. So I was like, I don't want to have to take care of a whole property down on the coast, you know, mowing, roofs, all that stuff. So we got a condo, and we knew this was going to be like the tax advantages were there, but it's a place and a market we knew, which I know you guys have had people on. And I've listened to some other stuff. I think with the Hall CPA guys, which you guys have had on before, they've talked about short-term rentals on their podcast. And it was like, know the market that you're in. Well, we'd been vacationing there for like 15 years. So, you know, we knew it pretty well. So we called a friend of ours who I knew through some other mutual friends in the Air Force. She was an Academy grad. She's a realtor now in the Houston area. And we looked at a couple properties, put an offer in on one. And luckily, there wasn't a lot of movement on the market, so we could kind of come in and, You know, it was definitely a buyer's market at the time. So we were able to get it for a good deal. You know, we did conventional financing. A boy that goes to school with my son, his dad's a realtor. We're all friends. And his name's Nash. And I was like, hey, man, like, we're thinking about doing this. And send him a whole bunch, you know, like, here's the, what can we do? You know, here's how much I have. Here's what I do, you know, what we can do. So you fast forward to probably June, July, maybe after, right after we put the offer in. And we were in Panama City Beach. We were down there seeing my uncle. He has a fishing boat down there. We're going deep sea fishing, like looking over the ocean in Panama City. And Nash calls and he was like, here's your financing options. You're going to do this. And he did some creative stuff, you know, within conventional. And he was like, you're going to do this. This is your answer. So we're like, okay. So like it was, we had looked into it so much, really spurred on by what you guys had put out there. Like the daunting became undaunting, where like what we do when we go fly, you have a, like, you're going to go fly an airplane. People are like, that's really intimidating. I don't know what to do. But you know, we walk up to an airplane, we have a checklist, we have procedures, and you're like, yeah, we just get in it and we do these, we flip switches and we turn things and then we just take off. Like it's not a big deal. So it kind of was broken down, you know, step by step. And we closed that July. We put it into service in October, had a couple rentals by the end of 24. And, you know, we're off to the races. So, and, you know, we can selfishly get down there and use it if we want to.
John has basically said my three favorite things, like knowledge, people, action, right? So he like got the knowledge, he listened to the show, he learned about the tax advantages. He had knowledge about the market, right? He's been there. He knows the market. He knows what it is. And then he had people, right? He had people to help him sort of through this thing. And I think that's where, you know, our network is our net worth and this show and introducing people and understanding, you know, who can do our tax returns to actually make this work. And he just took action, right? Because a lot of people have knowledge people and then they just don't do anything and they just kind of wait and wait. I think that's great. I do want to kind of just, if you're just getting into the show, you're like, what is he talking about? Why is he buying this short-term rental? Episode 10 really unpacks that. Tate, can you kind of tell our listeners, you know, how does the short-term rental thing work? What is John doing, you know, and you know, how is it benefiting him?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's probably 24 episodes that you can go back to and just browse, and you'll find episodes on depreciation. We talk about how you depreciate real estate with Brandon Hall. That was a really good one to start with. We've talked about cost segregation studies, bonus depreciation. Really, the crux of it is that you can take the structure in real estate. You can do what's called a cost segregation study, which pulls out all of the different components of the building that aren't going to last the full straight line depreciation of 27 and a half years for residential or 39 years for commercial. You can pull those out and you can bonus depreciate them in the year that you purchase the property. What does that mean? It means that anywhere from about 30 to 50% of the structural value of your real estate can be taken as a lump sum depreciation loss, a paper loss in the year that you bought the property. Now, normally, if it's a typical rental property, you're not going to be able to take that against your W-2 income. So it's like, oh, yay. And then, uh-oh, I can't do anything with these losses. Well, if the average length of stay is 7 days or less, it's a loophole in the tax code where the IRS does not consider that a passive activity. It is, in fact, an active trade or business, and now can go against your W-2. And so the short-term rental loophole, we don't know how long this is going to be open, but you know, it is a very, very effective way to acquire a property, run it as a short-term. And of course, you really only have to do it in the first year that you own the property. You do have to have two stays, both of 7 days or less, to establish an average of 7 days or less. You need two of those stays before the end of the calendar year. January 1st, you could give it to a property manager, turn it into a long-term rental, whatever you want to do, because you've juiced the property for that bonus depreciation. I will say as well that we got bonus depreciation back with the big, beautiful bill in 2026 at 100%. It was phasing out. So if you're listening to some of our previous episodes, we may have been talking about a phase out period where it was 100% for 5 years from 2017 to 2022. It was then dropping down by 20% each year, 80 to 60. We were actually at 40% this year before it went back up with the One Big Beautiful Bill Act. And it is now back to 100% permanently until, of course, some new administration comes in and changes it again. So get it while it's hot, people.
So I have two follow-up questions, John.
Yeah.
One, if you're willing to share, I would like to know the kind of the financials. So like, you don't have to get into every little detail, but just high level, what did it save you on taxes? And then two, how is it going? Because like you actually have to like buy this thing and run it and manage it, right? So I would love to hear, you know, kind of your experience with that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So the financials part, you know, we did conventional. And the fun part is, which we can get into, is it's what it's spurred us into, like, and what we're looking to do kind of going forward. And this really spurred a lot of different other changes within our investing and all that things. But the financials, because that's always, you know, it's investment property. What do we do? So, you know, we found a good attorney. We'd put our, you know, estate plan. We have a good one here, you know, in the area where we live with our trusts, everything like that. You know, listen to the episode on trusts. Go do it. You're not smart if you don't do it. Go do it. Go do it. Go do it.
Yeah, get your trusts. What was our last episode, Tate, on trusts?
137 with Adam Kinte with our friends over at Nevada Corporate Headquarters. Go back to 137.
Yeah, so we had put our estate plan together and then the financing. So we got with our buddy who's the loan officer. And the creative thing he did is, you know, because we were in high interest rates, you know, in that part of 24. And so I was like, hey, we can do 20%. But I'm like, can you just run numbers at 10%? What does that look like? So that's when, back to the Panama City, when he called us, he was like, 10% is your answer. It's only like 50 or 100 bucks extra a month of what your, you know, PITI would be. And, you know, here we go. And he was like, you're going to do 10%. So I was like, oh, okay, great. That's great news. Less money I have to bring to the table. So, you know, he did some creative things with the loan. We did, we're like in the mid sevens on it, but you know, like my whole framework had changed. I'm like, I don't care. Like, whatever. We can refi later. Wherever the phrase came from, you know, you date the rate, marry the property, whatever it goes, something like that. I'm sure I just butchered it. So that's how we did it. You know, we took some money out of other investments. And, you know, again, the shift in mindset, we, you know, had some money in some mutual funds that were, you know, just sitting there and they were doing fine. They weren't, you know, spectacular or anything like that. But it was like, I'm not spending that money on a property. I am investing it over here. So it helped us spurn this on. And so that's how we got into it. And then far as how it's going, gosh, like the whole tech stack thing you guys have talked about before, again, referencing other stuff where you've had on people who have been short-term rental operators. You know, the tech stack was a kind of a learning curve we got into. But we got it figured out. That wasn't hard. Married all those together, dynamic pricing, everything like that. That's a continuous process. So like with this short-term rental though, like it was definitely like the guys at Hall CPA, you listen to some of their episodes, they talk about like the four reasons you do short-term rentals and some are cash flow. Like this is not a cash flow machine for us, but it is, you know, it's a seasonal place, but there's an emotional component too, which overrides the cash flow. Like I didn't get this to have cash flow. I got for the tax efficiency. We go vacation there every summer, but we have to treat it like a business. We run it like a business. You know, we found the people, you know, we LLC'd it. You know, we put it in the entity structure, the proper one. You know, the property is in its own LLC. We have a property management company, you know, that manages that. You know, so we have a couple LLCs going and we have to follow all the IRS rules so we can take the depreciation because we had 60%. So we're still soaking in some of that depreciation, which is great.
Right.
But, you know, we're pilots. We're good with spreadsheets, I think, most of us. And also as a, you know, retired Air Force officer, it's like, you should know how to use a spreadsheet because, you know, that's like your second duty almost, it feels like. So I just do my accounting. We found a good CPA firm through the Passive Income Pilots Facebook group, you know, just looking for recommendations. We had a CPA before, but we needed something a little more tailored for real estate. So like I said, we do put our own money into it, like when it's not seasonal months, and that's okay. Like, but we knew that going into it. It's like, you have to know, like, again, the market you're going into, what are you doing it? But the emotional component, Marilu and I, we were okay with that because we know that that adds value to our family. And there's that component, you know, this, what this has turned us into, I don't know if I'm jumping ahead, but like Toby Mathis on episode 10, he was like, I don't know why pilots don't do this at the end of every year. And, you know, it was, that like hit me right in my brain. It was like, hey, so we're developing, in the process of developing, like a 4-year flywheel strategy where we can short-term rental to really soak in the tax efficiency, but view those going forward more as, you know, those have to break even with what we're doing. I don't need cash flow machines. We are extremely blessed to have these careers as pilots. The new contracts are amazing. You guys talk about all that stuff.
Yeah.
But for a tax efficiency machine, like that's it. And then like you guys have talked about oil and gas too. You know, like last year we didn't buy a short-term rental, but we went into Tate Steel for oil and gas because, okay, we couldn't do one then. So we did this one. We're still soaking in depreciation. So it's like the tax strategy, tax mitigation, whatever you want to call it, you have tools at your disposal where you don't have to go, like we've all flown with the guy. You look over at the other seat. Well, you know, I had to pay a bunch of money to the IRS. Like, you know, what's the living the dream? Like taxes, they're going to take all my money.
They do.
You don't have to be that guy. You don't have to be that guy.
You don't.
So anyways, that was a long-winded answer.
Well, John, you said something there that I really want to double tap on because I think it's so important. And it's that you vacation down in Galveston. You already are going there. And I think when you're buying a short-term rental, you know, I've made this mistake with long-term rentals before. So I bought them in markets that I didn't necessarily want to go and where I didn't have friends, I didn't have family. When I went there, I had to stay in a hotel. It's just a nightmare. It's not how you want to spend your days off, is traveling to go manage some property in a town that you don't really have any interest in going to. So if you take anything away from this, if you're going to buy a short-term rental, please buy it in a place that you actually want to go. I just wanted to call that out.
Yeah. And also, I love the intention, right? Like you came into this with purpose and intention. You said, I want to do this with a tax mitigation strategy. And my strategy is that it's not a cash flow play. This is a tax mitigation play. And my goal is to break even. And then this goes as an asset into my family's portfolio. I think a lot of times, you know, I'll see people post in the Facebook group, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing this deal where I buy this house and do this rental. And what do you guys think? That's really good stuff because you want to hear different perspectives. But I think what I always ask people when they say, hey, would you do this deal or not do this deal? My first question is what are your goals? What are you trying to get out of this deal? Right. And I think people don't start with the end in mind to help me kind of evaluate what they're trying to do and if it's a good idea or not. Because if your goal is to save taxes, check that box is checked. If your goal is to break even or do better, that box is checked. Whereas if you're trying to do something where you're like, well, I need to replace income or I need massive appreciation, I don't care about the tax strategy. Like there's so many things that go into a deal and you've got to really, you know, educate yourself to what the goal is behind what you're doing. Like you have to be very intentional about what you're doing. And I think too many people look at a deal or do a deal and then they don't realize why they even did it in the first place or what their goals were. And that's why it's like, you know, the first question back is just like, well, what are you looking to get out of this? And let me look at the deal and see if you're going to get what you're actually trying to achieve. I think that's really important. Yeah.
Yeah. It was the intention part and knowing the market, I think was good. You know, we had 13, 14 years behind us of going there every summer. So, you know, we stayed in these places, all that stuff, you know, there's that, you know, so like, as we look forward as to what to do as we, you know, what do we do now? Because once you get that hit, you know, you get that bonus depreciation or the tax write-off in your veins, you're like, holy cow, like this is awesome.
This works.
Right. So it's like, but you know, a lot of it's just taking action, but you know, it's like looking at what you guys have talked about, like the short-term rental, we started there, but we had, you know, the 401ks, those were all doing great. You know, like you guys talked about a ton about that. But we had all this other money. You know, I have my retirement from the Air Force, thankfully, you know, and that's great. But, you know, we had money. Like I converted my TSP into a Roth IRA, all that stuff. You know, it's sitting there. It was doing okay. But like the whole idea with syndications and things like that. So now we've taken all of that money and gone into private, you know, talked to you guys both. We've done some inside our Roth IRA. We've done some, you know, in cash. We've done a HELOC. We've done a 401k loan. You know, it's like it's ridiculous, like in a good way, people.
Right.
I think pilots, like we're trained to be risk averse, like because we're in a very risky profession, but we try to mitigate the heck out of the risk. So when the financial stuff happens, guys are like, I'm going to do the target date fund and just call it good. And, you know, that's it. So, you know, it just takes, you have to be willing to do it. And like now the financial trajectory, just beyond the short-term rental, like we have a tax mitigation strategy. You know, we have the private market strategy with all the different kind of deals. It's grown to like my sister and brother-in-law, they came on the Houston bus tour, met both you guys, and they've invested. My dad's invested, you know. So it's like all of these things are very real things. Like my dad, he made some money selling mineral rights, you know, retired school teacher, but he had this money there and he was paying a guy 1% assets under management. And for the money that he had, it was substantial. So it was like, he's sitting there blown away. Like I'm sitting there like, oh yeah, all that money that you converted, the taxes are due. Well, he did 50K in Tate's Iron Horse. Hey, all that money you converted over, guess what? Those taxes are gone. And he's just sitting there like, what? And, you know, they're all strategies that work. But, you know, so like all that to say, to kind of plug, we can go back. What episode do you want to talk about? Because all those things, you just have to go like, oh, huh. You know, the self-directed IRA, like all of these things. It's just for the fortunate money that we all make. Like if you're not looking at some of these things, I think you're doing yourself a disservice because it's not hard. It's not hard, guys. Like, I'm just a dude flying the line and we all have money. Where are you going to put it? And, you know, that's a very good problem to have.
And the episode John's referencing is episode 110 with Ramaz from IRA Club, who actually talks about how to set up a self-directed IRA. So if you are just listening to this episode and you're like, I don't know what he's talking about, you've got some homework to do if this is your first one, because you got to go back to episode 10. Sounds like you got to go to episode on the 401k loan, because you're probably like, wait, he said 401k loan. What the heck does that mean? I'm sure Tate has the reference to that episode.
That's episode 23, where we talked about the 401k loan.
Yeah. So, and then John touched on, you know, using a CPA. We really like to use Hall CPA.
We've had them on a bunch, but if you're on Spotify, I'll give you a quick tip. If you're on Spotify, you can actually search within the show. It's really convenient. That's actually how I'm pulling all these numbers out of, you know, when you're like, you know, go back to whatever episode, you know, I'm pulling up Spotify and you can actually search within the show. So that's a really convenient feature. If you're an Apple listener, if you have a Spotify subscription, you can go over there.
I thought these are your memory items. You gotta rememberize.
Yeah, exactly. I have my QRH right here. So John, you know, I know a lot of people are interested in the short-term rental thing, and I do want to touch on a couple more things on that before we end today. You said you kind of glossed over it. You were like, yeah, and then we put it on the platform and you know, we started renting it. That's a lot of stuff, right? So let's talk about from when you closed on it to when you actually got your first booking and some of the challenges that you may have experienced, because I'm sitting in one of our rentals. And our cleaners just dropped us. We showed up, we were pretty disappointed. And we've had 80 something turns with this cleaning company. And we were pretty disappointed in how it looked when we showed up and they just dropped us. They're like, well, we think we should go with somebody else. This is, again, there's a reason why the IRS gives you the active write-offs, because it's not a passive investment.
This will require time. This is not passive. But like, on a side note, it's been great marriage therapy. Not that we needed it, but like we love doing stuff together, and what a great way to do it. You know, it's like,
yes,
we love, agreed. It's a place, Mighty Lou loves the beach. We love going there. She likes to decorate.
And for some people, it might require marriage therapy after you do it. So, you know, again, you just have to.
Yeah. It's real.
Know yourself.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. On an interesting note there, by the way, like I've talked to some people and they're like, how did you get your wife on board with this? I'm like, well, she was on board with it from the get-go. Like she's had to push me a lot to get into this kind of stuff. And that's, and now that I'm doing it, she's like, this is awesome. Great. And like, she's had to tell me to slow down a little bit. Cause I'm like, what about this? What about this? But when you talk about, you know, we closed in July And we put it available October of that year because we wanted to capture the last 3 months, which for a beach destination, not the smartest time of the year, but our first renter was actually the guy that did the loan for us. He was like, hey, we're looking for a place for fall break. And so they booked for the week and it was great. And then we had, I think, one or two others. There was some cruise traffic that came through. So what we did was we kind of took a deep dive into the tech stack.
That was episode, we looked at the tech stack with Dan Templin back on episode 41. And then we also touched on it again on episode 68 with Daniel Rustin.
Yeah, listen to both of those. And really, like, it's what do you want to do, right? So we live 5.5 hours away from there. So we need to do most of it from our phones or remotely, like where Mighty Lou and I can both monitor what's happening. Like when I'm flying, you know, she, Shaker's a taker. She has the aircraft. Like, okay, she's got to answer them all. Yeah, I landed in Atlanta once and my phone was blowing up when we landed. You know, it was, you know, 45 minutes on the ground, like, ah, there's a leak. And like, sorry, babe, you got to handle this. I got to fly to wherever we were going. But, you know, it technology allows us to do that. So specifically, you know, we hospitable's the brain. We have listings on Airbnb and VRBO. We use Price Labs for our dynamic pricing. And then we also, our cleaners, they use resort cleaning. And all that just hubs in through hospitable, you know, matches all the calendars, everything like that. So it's become a pretty, you know, we try to drive people to our direct booking site once we capture them on Airbnb or mostly Airbnb's been the biggest channel that we've captured business on. But like return, we have some return guests for this summer, which is great. You know, we try to offer discount codes, everything like that. So that was a learning curve, getting the tech down, but it came through. You know, like anything, you just take it, you climb the mountain one step at a time. Yeah. And so it, once you get it, it kind of sustains itself. But, you know, it's great. Like Hospitable has this AI feature where a guest will message you and you hit suggest with AI and it gives you a response. You're like, yeah, that looks good. Send it. So there's so many. Speaking of AI, like whatever AI tool you want to use, like pay the $20 a month and use it. Like I have a nightly agent that runs that's looking for our next short-term rental. We developed an underwriting model, me and the AI, you know, and then it just every night at 3 a.m., it goes and searches for one. I wake up and it's like, nope, none are meeting your underwriting model.
And John, you had to have a computer sciences degree to do that, right?
Yeah.
To create an AI model.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how easy it is to build these things now. I mean, in Claude and ChatGPT and whatever, pick your poison. I mean, it's amazing.
Whatever you want, like pay $20 a month. Like when I get monthly updates from our syndications, I throw it in there. All my closed agreements are in there. And you guys talk about it. Know your contract. I've taken our, you know, CBA and I have a whole project within, you know, the AI tool I use that has the contract in there. So if I have questions, hey, what about this? It spits it out, everything like that. So it's like, I use it, you know, for almost everything we do, you know, for workouts, for all this stuff. But on the financial piece, it's like, especially for the short-term rental, like when I got my accounting done for the year, because I managed the spreadsheet, I threw it in there and had to analyze some things. Yeah, just, there's almost no excuse for everything we've talked about here to not be done. Like It just, the help that you can get, the education you receive by just listening, like everything that you, all the episodes you guys keep quoting, dude, it's like a college degree. Like you could go through, it's like, you know, like I said, this wasn't available 20 years ago. So the short-term rental part of it's just been very, a lot easier to do because if you have a question, I don't have to go necessarily ask an expert. I will, but I know it gives me a better question to ask. You know, send our CPAs, ask our attorney, like, hey, what's this? What's this? So anyways, plug for AI there. Don't be scared.
It's great. Yeah, it's also scary when you look at what it's capable of. You know, I don't know how long we've got as pilots. You know, we were all thinking we had another 30-year runway on this career. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, we should ask ChatGPT what they think.
Yeah, right? There you go.
Like, hey, how long do you think I have to be an airline pilot, you know, or until they remove the next guy?
Yeah.
Well, John, this has been super helpful. You know, you've mentioned a couple things, and I just want to throw this out to the listeners. Tate and I are out there in the world, you know, going to conferences and getting educated. So if you ever want to meet us, actually the next trade show that I'm going to be at May 28th through the 30th is going to be in Phoenix, Arizona. So if you wanted a ticket, reach out to me. We can give you a ticket to the show. I think, John, you probably knew everything before you went to the show. But I mean, for someone who's just getting started and wants to meet the players in the game, learn the tax strategies. I know, John, I think you had met the guys from Money Insights at the event to learn about some of the life insurance things, strategies that you can do. And you met Toby and got to spend some time with other pilots. I think there was like, I don't know, maybe other 15 or 20 other airline pilots that went.
Yeah.
Super fun. So I'm a big fan of that. Just, yes, you can listen
and
to the
keep in mind.
Yeah.
October 8th and 9th, Las Vegas. We're having our first Passive Income Pilots Conference. I think John will be there and certainly excited about it. We'll have some ticketing set up soon.
The encouragement, you know, I hope, like, I'm nobody special. Like, I just listened to a podcast, which I know a lot of stories start with. And, you know, I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night, as the old commercial used to go, you know, it's like, and we're pilots and we know everything. At least that's what my wife says. But, you know, it's just, you have free time. Like, this profession gives us something back. Like, we can make money, we can lose money. I always tell, you know, pilots ask, oh, what do you get in the airlines? You can make money, you can lose money. But the one currency that we never make more of is our time. We are always spending our time. We can't make more. When you have less time, you always want more time. So what you guys talk about gives time back in your pocket. It gives you options. You're not a slave to, you know, whatever. You know, we've all flown with the guy, like, I don't want to be the guy in my 60s who's sitting there going, oh, I'm leaving money on the table. I need to fly X amount per month because I have to afford X, Y, and Z. It doesn't matter when you start. You know, I'm like late 40s, you know, 20 years in the Air Force. Like, there's a ton of things to do. Like, but just start. Like, get your time back. Like, the short-term rental gave our family time together. Like, we've gone down there and worked on the place, things like that. Like, everything you guys talk about, like, time. Like, if you can guard your time, money's a tool, right? Like, it's not the end goal. Like, we all, like, I've gotten to know you guys. It's been great. You know, you guys, you value your time. And, you know, so anyway, that's just like something I'm passionate about. Cause, you know, our kids get older. We have our youth for so long. I don't want to be the guy who's like, oh man, I should have done this when we were whatever. It's like, no, let's go. You know, let's go do it, because, you know, time is of the essence. Life is urgent because we don't know when, you know, how much time we do have. So, like, the strategies that you guys talk about, like, you give guys and gals the ability to make smart decisions with their money, or give them the education, like, hey, here's these things to think about and take your time back. You know, you can do these things together as a family. You know, Tate, I know you and your wife do stuff, Ryan, you with your kids. It's like, that's all great to hear about. Like, we all know that our family is like, that's what's important, you know? So to be able to do that together is just invaluable. All the other stuff, honestly, in the big scheme of things, is just noise. But, like, taking my sister and brother-in-law and my dad, you know, my parents through these strategies, Tate, I know you said you've put your parents in some of these deals. Like, that's family time together. And it's brought us closer, which is crazy. Like, yeah, your guys doing these financial steps has brought our family closer together. It's like, just do it. You'll know what I'm talking about. So anyways, like, that's just a plug. Like, just do it. Like, if you have any reservation, just listen and just take action and just do it one step at a time. I know it feels scary, but, like, go for it.
Well, I love what Ryan said earlier. Knowledge, people, action. I mean, John, you're doing all three. You know, we're here for the knowledge piece. It's up to everybody else to find the people and take the action. So I love that. That's great advice. And I think people will take a lot away from this episode. So thank you, John.
Yeah.
And speaking of time, thanks, guys, for hopping on at 5 a.m. Pacific time.
That's right.
And Tate, you're like probably in Hawaii. So
no, I'm headed to a conference in Phoenix, actually, in about 10 minutes. So
perfect.
But John, if people want to connect with you directly, is that something you want to share? I mean, how do people reach out to you?
I have LinkedIn, you know, all that stuff. Like I said, I'm nobody special. I'm just, you know, a guy out there flying, you know, living life, you know, taking care of life and family and all that stuff. So, you know, happy to chat if anybody wants to chat, but really just listen to the show and call these guys. They've got all the knowledge.
Thanks, John.
Well, John, thanks for coming on and being a valuable contributor to the Passive Income Pilots community. And thanks for being a listener to the show. And, you know, congrats to you and your family for taking action, getting that time together, and saving taxes all while we're at it.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I evangelized the show quite a bit. I'm like, just go listen to this. Go do it. I can't thank you guys enough. Getting to know you guys has been great. I look forward to seeing you guys again. I think, Tate, we'll see each other maybe in a couple months here in the Dallas area for a conference, and look forward to October.
Yes, sir. The Pilot Network will be at TPNX together. Yeah. So we'll see you there.
Yeah, but look forward to it, guys, and look forward to the next episode.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, John.
See you on the next one.